afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we'll figure out together on the Jason Ranch on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. Got a lot to get to. Drivers here in Washington State are about to spend a whole lot more on their car insurance. That is what's trending.
What's trending on the road?
We had a record high year for crashes in 2022 here in Washington State. And you might be surprised to find out why that is. However, before we tell you that, let us tell you about what's going to hurt significantly for some of you. All drivers, every single one of you, will be hit with a pretty significant insurance rate hike.
Mine is ridiculous.
My friend did just the other day. She's like, why'd my rates go up so high? It was an $18 increase from what she was paying.
Not $18 for the year, $18 a month. The average increase this year in Washington State will be about 2%. Now, in fairness, that is lower than the national average. Car insurance hikes nationally, you're seeing about 8.5%. But here in Washington, going up 2% when they're already kind of high, after the last couple years, 3 years of not having to deal with such high rates, or at least higher rates, it's going to hurt a lot of people. Now, Kenton Bryan with the Northwest Insurance Council spoke with Cairo 7 TV, and he put the blame on inflation.
Definitely some folks are going to see rate increases simply because costs are going up for insurers as well.
So poorly edited. God bless them all. They can't just give him an extra syllable to finish the thought. But he's partially right. I mean, there's an extent to the argument that he just made that is valid. But it is way more than that, way more than that, which was a point that David Forte with the State Insurance Commissioner's Office made.
It's the increased fatalities. It's the higher medical costs for folks that are injured. It is the complexity of cars going up and up. Therefore, the cost to repair goes up and up. The supply chain issues delay parts from being available.
That's all pretty significant, right? I mean, just think about the EV situation. So you got electronic vehicles, electric vehicles, where it is much more difficult and time-consuming and costly to fix if they were to get into an accident. And we're pushing people to get EVs. That's going to jack up your rates. It is. When you have the situation of an item that you need to replace your inside of your car, sometimes those are catalytic converters, not getting here because of the supply chain crisis. Remember that issue specifically with catalytic converters. Not only is it expensive for them to replace, and if it's being stolen, you'll get insurance to cover it. How much depends on your policy. But there was a point where there weren't many coming in because of the supply chain crisis. So all of that starts to add up. Now, why are we seeing more crashes? Why are we seeing more reckless driving? Because they know, the drivers know, they can't actually be pulled over. I don't think it's an accident, pardon the pun, or maybe I did it on purpose. I don't know.
You did it on purpose.
I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's a coincidence that when Democrats passed a vehicle pursuit ban, we started to see an increase in reckless driving. When you see an increase in reckless driving, you'll see an increase in crashes. I think it's all tied together. There was a moment during COVID when folks started to go back into the office very early on. They were kind of used, the people at least who were still driving, were used to completely empty roads and highways. And so y'all were speeding because there was no one there, including cops. But at some point, we're very clearly seeing the data. And the Washington State Patrol said last year they saw a record high number. Pierce County, same thing. Pierce County Sheriff's Office, same thing. A record high number of folks who are being asked to pull over for a traffic stop, just driving off. They're just driving off. And we're to believe that this has nothing to do with the rise in fatalities on the roads. Because remember, Democrats haven't seen any data to suggest anything they've ever done in the history of politics was wrong. I mean, they're very, very good here in Washington, the Democrats. They're all knowing.
Insurance companies are a little nervous about having enough funds to pay for all the claims, so they put in requests to increase the rate.
That's fair. Look, I get it. I totally get it. I wouldn't want to have to deal with a price increase. I'm wondering, because I technically have driver's insurance, because every once in a while I'll drive a vehicle here and it makes sense to keep some level of insurance even when you don't have a car because it's just the continuation of service, or so some blog told me. So I kept it on. I think I'm paying like $40 a month, if that, not to drive.
That's not that bad.
So I'm wondering if it's going to go up. We'll see. Because really, this is all I only care about myself. I don't care about your insurance. What do you pay? Don't care. See?
120?
I just said I don't care.
Well, you asked.
Yeah,
though.
But I asked.
I know you don't care about what I say.
$120?
Yeah.
Jeez. Is that a lot?
I don't know. I just got adjusted.
I don't know what the...
I paid less when I was in Oklahoma. Now that I'm here, I pay more. I assume that it would
cost
more.
What was it in Oklahoma?
It was like 90, 80 or 90.
Is that a lot?
I didn't think that was very much, no.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is.
I mean, I don't have a very nice car, so.
I don't remember. I never owned a nice car. I mean,
what was the last car you had?
A Corolla.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I'm not a car snob. I'm a snob, but I'm not a car snob. So, Washington State, if you were to get a speeding ticket, I like they added this to the Cairo 7 story, you will not get a speeding ticket, because we don't do that anymore. But if you were to actually pull over and get a speeding ticket, that will add $1,860 to your annual car insurance cost on average. $1,860. No wonder people aren't pulling over.
I mean, would you?
they can't chase you.
$2,000 for a speeding ticket?
That's not well, $1,800. I mean, DUI is $2,600.
Well, then just...
But they can, on for DUI, they can chase you. Don't encourage people to drive off.
It's not even that much more expensive than speeding. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, it's not even a full $1,000 more.
I don't know.
Speaking of DUI, last night, a pretty busy intersection in downtown Seattle was closed after two cars got into a crash. It was involving a suspected drunk driver. The driver of a Mustang was arrested for suspicion of driving under the influence. Now, that is the only thing that officers can pursue for. Unless, of course, the bill we talked about yesterday and the day before the Democrats passed. Understand that Democrats are trying to stop police from policing. And they would be taken away if a bill is passed as it's written. They would lose the ability to pull over cars for basic traffic violations. They will all tell you, the Washington State Patrol said this, or the Washington State sheriffs and police chiefs, can't remember which group. But yesterday, we talked with the president of the Tacoma Police Department Union. They will all tell you that a number of DUI cases that they deal with start with a basic traffic stop. That it's not all the clear, you know, swerving all across the road. That's not always the case. That's a lot of the case, but not all of them. And just being able to pull someone over when you have reason to, and then you find out that they happen to be drunk at the time or high or whatever, that gets people who are dangerous off the roads. Democrats want to keep them on the roads, all while simultaneously telling us, oh, guess what? Policing, that's the real danger. That's the real danger. It's unreal. And by the way, of course, they want to ban, we'll talk about this later, they want to ban right turns pretty much everywhere in Washington State on red. So no more treating a red light, if you're making a right turn, as a stop sign, basically, or a yield, depending on where you are. But at the same time, if you were to make that illegal right turn under the law, they cannot pull you over. Cops can't pull you over. What a crazy world we're living in. It's almost like they pass things and they don't even talk to each other. They're not doing anything in concert with each other. They're just passing a bunch of crazy stuff. Now, don't hold your breath as to whether or not the vehicular pursuits ban will be overturned, including now in the House. It's a little bit more nuanced in the House. the guy on the committee, leading the committee from the Democrat side in the House, wants you to think that a vehicular pursuit bill that would fix the ban still needs to be narrowed.
I believe it's too broad. I believe that it would allow chases for any criminal offense. That means like graffiti and other, you know, minor offenses. I do intend to narrow it.
So that's Roger Goodman. He's not the brightest bulb. Under no circumstance do cops pursue for graffiti. Now, if the graffiti artist, or excuse me, we don't call it graffiti. What do we call it? We call it an unsolicited piece of creative expression. Now, if that person also happens to be wanted for murder, they'll go ahead and chase. But they're not going to chase because of graffiti. So he's making up an issue that is not real, that is not practical, which will allow him to, when he says, oh, you know, we just got to make it a little bit more narrow. He wants to make it dramatically more narrow, but he's using that as an excuse. But there is no indication at this point that the Senate's going to hear it. So no matter what happens on the House side, it's not going to go anywhere unless Monica Dinger, the state senator, changes her mind and allows it for a committee vote. Democrats are political cowards who won't put pressure on her. But here's what we'll get. Here's what we'll get. We might get a bill to study the issue, because that's definitely what we need, studying the issue.
On the issue of police vehicle pursuits, since we haven't been able to come up with a policy that either seems to work or everyone can agree on, this is an example of something we should delegate to the experts.
No, it is not. No, it is not. We should delegate this to the experts? How about we listen to the experts in law enforcement who are telling you that they need this as a tool, who are telling you that as a result of banning vehicular pursuits, we are seeing more crime? They're experts. Why can't we listen to them? Oh, because they're all white supremacists. Did you know that policing was founded on the principle of white supremacy? Yeah, thank you. Oh, my God. While they do more studying, and they'll pass their stupid study, which will justify not doing anything. While they do their study, we'll see more people die. We'll see more criminals get away. We'll see more victims as a result. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
Speaking of which, there's a vegan restaurant called Life on Mars, which is, you got to be an alien to really commit yourself to the ridiculous lifestyle of veganism. Y'all look like you're going to just pass out. Every single one of them. You have no color in your skin. You're just pale. You're just miserable all the time. Ugh. Other than that, they're wonderful people. But this restaurant started a fund to cover the cost of fixing all of the vandalism that it gets hit with on a regular basis. They're calling it the Mayhem Fund. Think about that for a moment. They are calling it the Mayhem Fund. Do you think that the Mayhem Fund exists in places where you don't see a whole bunch of chaos from the criminal community that has recognized the laws are on their side? The money's going to go towards fixing past and future destruction, along with upgrading their security systems, including getting security, physical security, to be there overnight. Why should a vegan restaurant have to do that? Unless, of course, and this I'll give them a pass, if, you know, if they're carnivores who are just like throwing like steak bones through the window. But I don't think that's what it is. Although that would be, is that a hate crime?
Seems like it probably would be.
Right? Because that's an ideology, veganism.
Yeah.
Kinda.
I guess.
So they posted, I saw them post on their Instagram feed and on their website. It said, Life on Mars has made the decision to not give up and continue to fight the good fight to stay open, but we will need your help. Small businesses like ours have had a lot to contend with in the last few years, and the continued vandalism, tagging, broken doors and windows leave us no choice but to ask our community to join us encountering all this bad stuff. We removed all the rocks around the bar, only to have someone find a different rock and put it through our window. Think about the environment that all of these businesses are working in. And I want you to think about this. Who's likely to go to a vegan restaurant? What politically inclined? Which side?
Probably the Democrats.
Probably Democrats. Socialists, maybe throw them in.
Yeah.
Republicans, we eat meat. proudly.
Most of them.
We don't want to isolate.
No,
I do. I don't want any vegans on my side.
Tell them to turn off the radio then.
Yeah, turn off the radio, vegan. If you can muster up the strength to reach to the dial or to close the app on your phone. Democrats go there. Democrats are the ones who are responsible for exactly what's going on that's crushing this business. They're the ones who keep voting into office the same people over and over and over again that pass the same policies that have led to the situation that this vegan restaurant finds itself in. So the very people who will proudly support their local business are the same people who will say, after that business gets broken into, it's just property. It's why you have insurance. They actually say that. They actually believe that. Life on Mars is dealing with the reality that its customer base created for them. But they're not going to say anything. Because then they'll definitely be out of business. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Woke madness.
So yesterday I read you a statement that was provided to Cairo 7 TV by Seattle King County Public Health. And they were trying to explain what they believe at an agency that's supposedly about public health and public safety. They tried to explain to us, to get us to understand, what's behind the fatal overdose rate that is historically high for King County, especially in Seattle. And they blamed, and again, this is for fatal overdoses, and overdoses just in a general sense. They blamed, quote, structural factors, including lack of economic opportunities, social isolation,
structural racism,
the criminalization of substance use disorder, and so many other things, none of which have anything to do with the fatal overdose rate. Early on, maybe a little bit had to do with social isolation, but as we pointed out, it was public health that told you not to go outside during COVID. So I reached out to Sharon Bogan, who is the communications person there, who provided that statement. And I asked a very simple set of questions. And it was really the same question, but for two of her excuses. I focused on structural racism and the criminalization of substance use disorder. And I said, Sharon, could you elaborate on that? Can you explain why or how structural racism plays a role? Can you explain how in a state that has legalized drugs, in a county that gives out tools to continue to use drugs, how you can label criminalization of substance use disorder as being responsible for the county crisis? Because that doesn't make sense, dum-dum. I didn't put the dum-dum. I was thinking it, but I didn't say dum-dum. So I got a response, and I said I would bring it to you. I don't have any more to add to the statement that's in the Cairo article. Without any data, without any explanation, she puts out a statement that blames structural racism and the criminalization of substance use disorders on the rise in overdoses. No explanation at all. Because it doesn't exist. She cannot explain it. Because she is lying. She is a partisan. And I know to say she because in her email signature, it lists her pronouns as she, her. Which, if I'm being honest, Sharon is very much a name that both men and women hold. Like Sharon? That could be a male name.
I think that's a reach.
Okay, fine. I was trying to give her a little bit of credit for being polite.
Well, it's good of you for acknowledging the pronouns.
She is a partisan. She is part of the problem. When you've got a public health agency that refuses to focus its efforts on health, on what doctors know is the case, what science tells us, what policies are very clearly responsible, if you're unwilling to go after those policies because it flies in the face of your political positions, you're no longer to be trusted. And a lot of people came to this conclusion during the COVID pandemic, right? That we heard what they were saying and we said to ourselves, well, that's political what you did. That's not based in science. There's some of the stuff that they just got flat out wrong and continue to spread even after they knew it was wrong. Like telling you to not go outside. You can get COVID on surfaces. All that stuff was wrong. And we knew very early on it was wrong. We knew early on that kids are not impacted by COVID unless they're already very, very sick. They're the least impacted by COVID. But over at public health, they pretended otherwise. You still have Dr. Duchin over there, Jeff Duchin, public health officer, on Twitter constantly talking about how, oh, you got to get 14 different jabs. Better get them. It's the best way to protect you and others. No, it's not. It doesn't protect others. And I'm not even sure at this point it protects the individual as much as you're telling us. But I remember, and so many others do as well, that when they were telling folks not to go outside and they were giving a hard time to quote unquote right wingers who were protesting some of the policies down in Olympia, shaming them, saying this is dangerous, go inside. They then said Black Lives Matter. Those protests totally worth the risk. Go out, be safe, socially distance as best as you can, but this is worth it. Really? You thought they were all going to die, but it's worth it? They're phonies. They're phonies. And they are telling us not to trust them. And so I will listen to them on that point. I do not trust them. I don't trust anything that they say anymore. And that is not a great place to be if you're a public health agency, losing the trust because you're too political. By choice, you're too political. Shame on Sharon Bogan, she, her. I did respond to her and said, no, I got that, but I'm still asking. I want to know what your answer is. She has not responded. She's not going to respond. She, her will not be responding. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to respond to the segment and send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, it is Thursday. That means we posted a video on our Facebook page brought to you by your local tax expert and advocate Greg Nunn at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. This week's video, we take you through how progressives aim to divide us. I'll tell you how on the video, facebook.com/Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Biden administration is seriously considering the banning of natural gas-powered stoves. Now, we were told by MSNBC, and I think it was the New York Times, but possibly Washington Post, but likely both of them, telling us this was a contrived controversy slash conspiracy pushed forward by right-wingers and the conservative echo chamber of Fox News. They all made it up. Except we now have a memo that was dated October 25th, 2022, which verifies everything that has been reported. Everything. It was written by Richard Trumka Jr., who was appointed to the Consumer Product Safety Commission by Joe Biden. And in a memo that he wrote to another commissioner, he said that there was sufficient evidence for the agency to move forward with a notice to ban gas stoves in the near future. He writes in this piece that Fox News Digital got a hold of, in this memo, the need for gas stove regulation has reached a boiling point. That has to have been
has
a pun,
to,
right?
Has to.
It was a boiling point. If it was water boiling on a natural gas stove, it got to that point much faster than if it was on an electric stovetop.
Is that a fact?
It is a fact.
Oh, good to know.
CPSC, again, that's the Consumer Product Safety Commission, also known as CPSC, has responsibility to ban consumer products that emit hazardous substances, particularly when those emissions harm children under the Federal Hazardous Substances Act. Emerging evidence is sufficient to conclude that gas stoves in homes emit toxic gases that cause illness and that lower cost-saving alternatives are available. Emerging evidence? Wow. I mean, I feel like the gas stoves have been around for like 100 years. My gosh. Emerging evidence. I guess science couldn't quite figure it out up until recently. Now, Trumka notes in this memo that New York and LA have already banned gas stoves, at least those in new constructions, which is always kind of funny because you're telling me that it is a danger to everyone's health, so much so it must be banned, but only in future constructions. The current ones, keep them. Breathe in all the pollutants that the gas stove is emitting. They say it was banned there, so why don't we ban it at a national level? Now, again, remember, we were told that this was entirely made up. MSNBC did full day's worth of segments telling us that the Biden administration was never even thinking about banning gas stoves. We'll see where things go. It would appear that there is support, at least enough support, in the Senate to make sure that the ban can never go through. Because not only did Ted Cruz sign on to this legislation, but Joe Manchin, Democrat. And I'm willing to bet he's going to be able to bring Kristen Sinema over, and bam, all of a sudden, this legislation can pass.
I don't like where I think they're going with this, and I tell you one thing, they're not taking my gas stove out, and my wife and I would both be upset. Now, I know DOE is required to write a rule on stovetop efficiencies, and that is the beginning of this process, not a final rule. But in light of a broader concerns about the administration looking to find ways, and it truly is an indication, looking to find ways to push out natural gas, which basically the rest of the world wish they had an abundant supply that we do, to have this transition that will go on in our energy markets, doesn't make any sense at all. It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't. So Joe Manchin's stepping up. And this, for him, especially in West Virginia, you know, whenever you're talking about anything related to energy, gas, oil, whatever, when we're talking about it in that world, West Virginia is impacted dramatically. And of course, he is a vulnerable senator who's going to be up for re-election. This almost certainly actually will be a Republican pickup. But he's stepping up. That's good. Ron DeSantis in Florida, our future president, had an interesting reaction as well.
We're also eliminating permanently the sales tax on gas stoves.
I love that. It's almost like he's trolling, but he's trolling, but it also is beneficial to the consumer.
Yeah, he knows what his base wants to hear. I think this is very smart.
But here's the thing. Yes, I guess his base wants to hear it. Everyone wants to hear. There's like no one out there other than Trumpka and the Biden administration that actually want to ban gas stoves, because it's not about banning gas stoves. It's about banning gas-powered vehicles. And this is one of the entryways into that inevitability, or at least what they think is an inevitability. But this is brilliant. I love this.
They want... They are coming after people's gas stoves. New York is just doing something to ban. So as they're banning, we're saying no tax. But this is just a principle of this, that they want to control every single aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to determine what type of energy you're allowed to use, how much energy you're allowed to use. And so this is all part of a larger scheme.
And it's exactly how you alienate moderate voters. This is the kind of thing that you do if you want to alienate independents, moderate Democrats, moderate Republicans who maybe aren't so on board, some Republican candidates. But then all of a sudden you're being told, wait, what? You want to take away my gas? Really? What? That's insane. What are you talking about? All of a sudden this is an issue? All of this stuff adds up. No one voter is going to vote solely on this issue, right? There's not someone who otherwise would have voted for a Democrat, but this is one step too far. But it is one of many issues. One of many issues that adds up to a lot of anger and anxiety about the direction of the Democrat Party. But like I said, it all has to do with EVs. And it turns out that in Florida, you've got a senator there, and really a Republican-controlled Senate, that's moving forward to help protect their constituents. They're weighing a tax on electric vehicle owners. Now, here's the fun part, because what they're doing here makes total sense, and it's not as vindictive as it seems, because I imagine there are a lot of people who, especially after hearing the DeSantis audio about the gas stoves, you're just trying to stick it to the EV owners. No, actually not at all. You see, they've got to pay for their share of road maintenance. their road projects across the state of Washington is funded via a gas tax, very similar to what we do here in Washington state. And so Republican Senator Nick DeKegley, he just filed legislation that is going to put into place a fee. Now, it depends on the vehicle that you purchase, but he's looking at 30 other states that have basically introduced the same thing. And the fee structure is anywhere between $45 and $200. One-time fee that you pay per year. They say this is only for, the high end would only be for battery-only cars. So if you've got the fully electric vehicle, the $200 would apply, or whatever they end up coming up with. If you've got a hybrid where it's both battery and gas-powered, that would be on the lower end towards $45. The reason why they're doing it is because they don't want to go down the road that was intentional. They don't want to go down the road of what Washington State will do, which is pay by the mile. Washington State is going to go pay by the mile because they've encouraged people to get into EVs. A bunch of people got into EVs. On top of that, you've got cars that are more efficient with its gas use, which is what we thought we were supposed to do. But that means less gas taxes, which means less money going into the budget to build bike lanes that no one is going to use except for a handful of bicyclists who, by the way, don't pay to ride on those bicycle lanes. They don't pay for any of them. The driver does. And the folks who get out of paying the gas tax right now yet benefit from all the dollars going into the projects are EVs. Now, Washington will go ahead and go to those EV owners and say, well, we're still going to charge you now. I know you thought you were going to get out of having to pay a gas tax. We're going to charge you by the mile. Florida's saying, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do pay by the mile. So we're going to try to treat everyone as equally as possible. Every single person as equally as possible. Wyoming decided, and I kind of like this, they will be phasing out EVs because they've got a state economy that's fueled by gas and oil. So they're basically trying to ban electric vehicles, which I don't think is right. That's wrong. If someone wants to buy a stupid EV, go ahead and buy one. I'd happily buy an EV if there were. First of all, I'd have to be in the market for a car. But I'd be fine going with an electric vehicle if we had infrastructure for it. We don't. I live in an apartment complex. Has, I think, two stations to plug into. Like, How is anyone supposed to operate like that? And for those of you who live in places where you can just plug into your garage, do you want to get hit with a higher bill for electricity? Because you will eventually get hit really, really hard. We're already seeing prices go up. But as we put more and more and more people into this realm, the prices are going to be jacked up because we're going to have a lower supply, higher demand. That's how it works.
Well, and not to mention the insane price to actually purchase one of the vehicles.
Yeah, right. I'm presuming it's going to come down. I guess the one that I would want would probably be expensive. I don't want to get the cheap. I don't want like a Prius because they're so ugly. They're so ugly. Why can't they make them good looking? The BMW one I like the way it looks. It looks too futuristic, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Like, that one is cool, though.
Well, it looks cool, but it is still kind of... Just pull back a little bit. Let it look like a normal Beamer, and I'll go ahead and purchase one. Well, I won't, but someone will. 1-800-465-877. If you want to send a text, head on over to facebook.com/JasonRantsShow, where we posted another video, as we do every single Thursday. It's brought to you by your local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, and Nunn Better Tax Resolution. It's a Jason Rants Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. Later this evening at 9:25, I'll be on Fox News at Night with Trace Gallagher talking about a new revelation that Bob Woodward formerly, of course, of The Washington Post, warned reporters at The Washington Post about their coverage of the Steele dossier and Russiagate. And in this interview he gave, he said he told them at the time, this isn't making sense. This isn't adding up. Your reporting is not taking into account X, Y, and Z. And they apparently responded with a lack of interest and a lack of curiosity. And, you know, I'll talk about that later tonight, but just glancing at some of the statements, like, number one, yeah, no kidding. We know that the media dropped the ball on this, but it's not, I don't even want to say drop the ball, because that implies that it wasn't intentional. It was intentional. They covered the Steele dossier the way that they did because they wanted to hurt Trump and they wanted to help Democrats. Trump broke so many people in the media, and they did not care that they were lying. They didn't do sloppy work. Maybe a few of them did sloppy work, but I think the majority of them did all of it on purpose. They knew exactly what it was that they were doing. They just did not care because they believed that the end goal was worth ruining their reputations in the rare case that it would be ruined. And the truth is, were any of them ruined? Were the reputations of anyone who did this ruined? No, because the media across the board did it, and they're not going to go after each other. You got some pieces by, I think, Eric Wemple over at the Washington Post who said, yeah, you know, the media really dropped the ball. Where were you during it? And Bob Woodward, where were you during all of this? Why weren't you public? Why weren't you public and telling everybody, not just privately calling up these reporters? Why, you're on MSNBC all the time. Why don't you say anything? It's maddening. Now, last night, I was on Tucker Carlson Tonight. And this was weird in that I got more responses on this report that I did than any other that I've ever done on Tucker. It was actually my 99th appearance. And we were talking about Lauren Sanchez. Lauren Sanchez is the girlfriend of Jeff Bezos. And she's going to go on a trip.
Well, another Blue Origin wiener ship is set to take off. This time, Jeff Bezos is sending his girlfriend into outer space. How should she feel about that? She'll have some special guests. Who could they be? To answer all these questions, we turn to our West Coast correspondent, Jason Rance, who joins us tonight. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Tucker. Lauren Sanchez is headed to space, leading an all-female crew in a phallic-shaped rocket ship erected by Blue Origin, which is an aerospace manufacturer founded by her billionaire boyfriend, Jeff Bezos. Now, this flight is scheduled for sometime in early 2024, and Sanchez will be joined by five other women as the Wiener rocket penetrates suborbital space. Now, the company already has performed 22 successful space flights. While we don't yet know the crew's identities, the 53-year-old Botox beauty did offer some hints to the Wall Street Journal, promising, quote, it's going to be women who are making a difference in the world and who are impactful and have a message to send. Now, Sanchez and Bezos have been pretty mum on the details of this girls-only trip to space. And while Bezos won't be joining the flight, Sanchez does say that he is very encouraging. He's, quote, thrilled we're putting this group together. Now, obviously, it's going to be a challenge for Sanchez, second only to convincing Jeff a prenup isn't actually necessary. But she does actually have flight experience. After she said Southwest rejected her as a flight attendant for being too heavy, this was back when they actually weighed job applicants, she became determined to get back in the air. She's a licensed pilot who learned to fly helicopters before starting Black Ops Aviation. This is an aerial film production company. Tucker, in the last few years, we have seen many historic firsts. The first Black lesbian White House spokesperson, the first gay transportation secretary, the first non-binary klepto nuclear waste official. Now, the first billionaire girlfriend to fly into space with an all-female crew. If she is anywhere near as competent as the trailblazers I just mentioned, this is going to be a rocket trip to remember.
Jason, that sound you hear in the distance is a million glass ceilings shattering all at once. And I personally feel a little empowered by it. But I appreciate your coming on tonight. Jason Rance, thank you.
So you've seen an image of the rocket ship.
Yes.
It really does look like male genitalia.
Yes.
There's no, yeah. We're not stretching here. And we show you the image as I'm talking. It really does look like a wiener. It does. Okay. It's one of those things where I feel like they designed it and then only afterwards they realized what it looked like.
It's aerodynamic.
So I had lots of jokes that I had to cut.
You should have spread them out a little bit more. So.
Oh, I don't need your critique, okay?
Well, you're getting it.
Well, I don't want it. I'm the one who's on with them, not you. So I did have to make lots of cuts. And one of the cuts was because I ran this joke. I still think it's funny. I ran the joke by multiple people and only one person got it. So at one point during the segment, I was going to say, and I really leaned hard on my sources, including the brother of Lauren Sanchez, but all I got back were text messages of a naked Jeff Bezos. No one seems to remember that he took his sister's naked photos of Jeff Bezos that were texted to her and other sexts and sold them to the National Enquirer. That was the allegation. No one remembered that. That was a huge story in 2019. But I guess no one. So I ended up cutting that one because I sent it to one of the producers and he goes, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, but it's such a good joke. Then I was going to include something about, so this spaceship doesn't go all the way into space. Like it's not going to the moon or to Mars. It's just going to, just the tip of the ship gets into space. And I decided,
I don't know.
I decided to cut that. Well, I cut it. I didn't use it.
That's a good decision.
I think he would have laughed.
Probably. You should have just made a joke at the end. He would have laughed. You almost got complimentary of Lauren Sanchez in there, admiring her determination or whatever.
I wanted to. I deliver honest assessments of the people that I cover. And then immediately when I was done, everyone realized that my next appearance with them, the producers realized my next appearance was the 100th. And boy, did I get a story that I could have. I was like, oh, what if this was your next one? She said to me, one of the producers.